Our first reading comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and can be found on page 191 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this you will fulfill the law of Christ. For those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Our second reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 71 of your New Testament section. After the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into this harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near." The word of the Lord.
Friends, let us turn to God in prayer. Living God, come into our midst. Come into our midst with your power, with your freedom, with your grace, with your courage. Set us free, Lord, from all of the fears and all of the habits that hold us back, that keep us stuck in our lives. Come into our lives with your liberating grace. And then, oh God, teach us and show us how you want us to live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. When when your church staff were meeting to plan for the summer worship series, worship theme for this year, we were reflecting together on the deep and profound polarization that we are living through in our time these days. More and more, it seems that we sort ourselves into our various tribes, and then we mainly affiliate with and click through to read or to watch those whose views reinforce and support our own. We're facing significant challenges as a society and as a world, yet we are deeply divided about how to respond to those challenges. And we can feel a tension between feeling called to reach out and to cross lines, to embrace and engage those with whom we disagree, on the one hand, and on the other hand, feeling called to draw lines that emphasize and are clear about what we believe. So we can feel caught in this tension between crossing lines and drawing lines. And so as the staff were thinking and talking about how God might be calling Lewinsville to respond to this, we noticed that the lectionary epistle readings for the month of July begin with this remarkable little passage from Galatians chapter 6 that Spencer just read for us, in which we find the phrase, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And bearing each other's burdens struck us as a thread that is worth pulling on as we try to find our way forward. So we're going to be exploring other texts over the course of the month, but Galatians chapter 6 is going to be our launching pad. Now, the letter of Galatians as a whole, two things. One, it is short, and so you can read it in a sitting, which we would encourage you to do. Secondly, the letter of Galatians as a whole is a full-throated defense of the freedom to which the gospel of grace releases us. And especially around the 4th of July, freedom is a good place to start. For freedom, Christ has set us free, Paul says in chapter 5. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That's a verse that's worth committing to your mind. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. On the cross, Jesus set people free from all of the evils of every age, so that ever since the cross, we are no longer bound or subject to any imperial or coercive regime. We have been set free. Or as we sometimes like to say here at Lewinsville, we do not need to be afraid of anyone or anything anymore. So the whole letter of the Galatians is about freedom. But in chapters 5 and 6 of Galatians, which again is very short, you can read it in a sitting. In chapters 5 and 6 of the letter, Paul makes it clear that the freedom to which we belong has a particular shape to it. And we need to be clear about this because Christian freedom is distinct from what the world often means when the world talks about freedom. Christian freedom is not some kind of unbridled, unrestrained autonomy, as if we are free to do whatever it is that our tiny, self-absorbed egos want to do. A number of years ago, I was on a mission trip in the Dominican Republic with a group of adults from another congregation. And during that week, our group spent time each evening, as the SMP group does here, our group spent time each evening reflecting. And so one evening, towards the end of the week, after we were well into the week, our group was reflecting on the beautiful and meaningful work that we were doing alongside of families and children who were living in profound poverty. And there's one evening that I recall sharing with the group that what I had become aware of over the course of the week in a very embarrassing way was how I realized that there was a big part of me that just wanted to get away from other people. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that feeling where all you want to do is just get away from other people, but we're in this context on this mission trip, spending time with a large group of people who were living in poverty, and I had the horrible realization that there was a not insignificant part of me that dreamed of living in a great, big, air-conditioned house all by myself with television on all the time and an endless supply of Dr. Pepper, which is an odd detail, but that was the way what I realized. And I realized that as I dreamed about that, part of the pleasure of that dream was never having to interact with other people. Now, this was my seminary-trained self but deeply unreformed self that thought that sounded like an awesome way to live. So what I realized on this mission trip was there was a huge part of me that wanted freedom from other people. But friends, Christian freedom, the freedom that is shaped by the cross of Jesus, is not freedom from other people. It is freedom to be for other people. Christian freedom is freedom to pursue the common good. According to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, those in the church, in the community of disciples, are to bear one another's burdens, which suggests that we have responsibilities for each other. Disciples of Jesus, according to this text and a whole lot of other texts, disciples of Jesus are not radical individualists. Our love for Jesus binds us to our neighbor, whether we are talking about our neighbor who is in need or our neighbor with whom we disagree. When another person is broken, we are to step in. When another person has been sinned against and hurt, we are to walk alongside of them, not to abandon them. When another person has committed the sin and has hurt someone else, we are to walk alongside of them and not abandon them. When another person is weak, we are to help carry the load. Christian freedom is not freedom from other people, but is the freedom to be for other people. But then, very interestingly, we come in chapter 6 to verse 5. And in verse 5, Paul says, all must carry their own loads. And the verb that the New Revised Standard Version translates as carry is the same verb that three verses earlier is translated as bear. So that verse 5, verse 2 says we are to bear one another's burdens. Verse 5 says all must bear their own loads. So how does 5 stand alongside 2? Are we supposed to bear one another's burdens? Or are we supposed to bear our own loads? And as the old joke has it, yes. Christian freedom is oriented towards the other, especially the other who is in need. But Christian freedom does not take advantage of this by saying to oneself, now if I don't do my part, if I just slack off, I can count on other people to step in and to carry my load for me. No, Christian freedom is both. It is the freedom of responsibility for oneself, and it is the freedom of compassion for others. Bear one another's burdens, and all must bear their own loads. Christian freedom is both. And during this 4th of July week, when we are celebrating the freedoms in our country, we can imagine that there might be public policy implications of these twin common good postures of responsibility and compassion. Responsibility for our own loads on the one hand, and compassion for those whose loads have grown too heavy on the other. And we can draw out these implications, and we got to work together on how you do this, but we draw out these implications in education, or in healthcare, or in criminal justice, or in so many other areas. For instance, in the immigration sector, we can and should have a vigorous conversation about immigration protocols and border security. But we must address issues of overcrowding in detention facilities and providing for basic human dignity for those who are in the custody of the U.S. government, especially for little children. Basic essentials like soap and toothpaste and safety. We can do both. According to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bearing each other's burdens fulfills the law of Christ. Christ's own life of sacrificial, self-giving love fulfilled God's law. And Christ, unlike my self that dreamed of Dr. Pepper, Christ did not live a life of freedom from other people. Christ lived a life of freedom for other people. And when we live towards our neighbors, whether we are talking about loving our neighbors who are in need or loving our neighbors with whom we disagree vehemently, when we do that, when we live in a loving, self-giving way towards our neighbors, according to the text, we are ourselves participating in the fulfillment of Christ's law. That's what Christian freedom looks like. To God and to God alone be the glory. Amen. Friends, let us turn to God in prayer. You know, O God, how deeply tempted we are to choose one or the other, to choose to draw lines or to choose to cross lines, to choose compassion or to choose responsibility. And so, O God, we pray that you would grant us the spiritual maturity to live in between them, to hold on to both of them, to practice both of them, and in that way to live as your people seeking to follow your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.